We are called to serve. We are called to give. We are taught to see. Jesus wants us to meditate upon the Word. Please pray with me the prayer of confession. Dear Lord, we do not stop and live in the moment. There are times when the noise of life keeps us from seeing the vision of a world where God has a place. Help us to stop the busyness in our lives so the Holy Spirit can move us to see the people in our world who are hurting. Oftentimes we forget to live the life Jesus has set out for us. Help us turn our attention to a better life of faith. Take a few moments now to meditate. My family of faith, celebrate. Because of your steadfast faith, you are able to absorb the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and the teaching of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.
Now, would the children please come forward and join me up front? Right, small crowd today. Your brother doesn't want to come up? It's okay, I've got a mic. He can hear me. All right. Well, today I've got a story for you about two sisters. How many of you have a brother or sister? Yeah? Yeah? Maybe one stuck back there? Mm-hmm. Do you guys ever argue? Maybe. Do you ever argue? No, never. Oh, man, you guys are great. You know what? I have a little brother, and I argue with him all the time. Sometimes it happens. So I'm going to tell you a story today about two sisters, Mary and Martha, and a fight they had when their friend Jesus came to visit. Here's the story. Jesus and his disciples were traveling. Along the way, Jesus decided they would visit with their friends Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha were sisters. They lived in a house together and got along very well most of the time. While Jesus visited with them, Mary sat on the floor and listened to Jesus teach, just like you guys are doing now. Martha, on the other hand, was very busy. She didn't have time to sit down. She cooked. She cleaned. Martha worked hard to make Jesus' visit special. See, there's a picture of Martha. As she hurried around, she saw her sister Mary sitting down with Jesus. Humph, she thought. Why doesn't she help me with the cleaning? A few minutes later, Mary was still sitting as Martha worked. Martha got a little bit angry. Ahem! She cleared her throat, thinking, Mary could at least help me get this meal ready. All of these people to feed, and she isn't helping one little bit. Martha continued hurrying around, getting angrier by the minute. As she swept, she thought, "Rrr! Mary knows how to use a broom." As she cooked, she said to herself, "Huh, I think my sister could at least stir this pot." As she got ready for Jesus, she grumbled to herself, "All of this company, and I am doing all of the work alone." Finally, while she was still working and Mary was still sitting, Martha couldn't take it anymore. She burst into the room and interrupted Jesus, put her hands on her hips and said, "Mary, please get up and help me." She looked at Jesus. "Jesus, tell Mary to get up and do something." Jesus stopped what he was doing. Everything was quiet for a minute. Finally, Jesus looked at Martha. "Martha," he said, "you are worried about every little thing. Thank you for your work to make my visit comfortable, but you don't need to worry about these things. Mary's decided to sit down and listen to me, and that's a good thing to do." Martha thought to herself, maybe I can just sit down and listen to what Jesus had to say, at least for a little bit. Maybe Mary has a good idea. So they sat down together and relaxed and listened to their friend Jesus. And it was a good decision. So sometimes if you're really, really busy, it's okay to stop and listen and spend time listening to Jesus or reading the Bible. You guys ready to pray today? All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for listening to me. Help me listen to you. Amen. All right, time to go sit back down.
Tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy.
The first reading this morning is from the letter of Paul to the Christians at Ephesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it in the praise of his glory.
Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapters 10, verses 38 to 42. Listen now and read along to the word of God. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of God for us today.
Our next reading comes from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So those who don't know me, my name is David Fish, and I'm a lifelong member here at Gates, and I've been away for a while. I've been in Byron Presbyterian Church, interning there for the last 6 months, as I participate in the Presbytery-wide training for commissioned lay pastors, which is now the Commissioned Ruling Elder Program. And I did an internship there. I'm also going to the Roberts Wesleyan College up the road at the Northeastern Seminary. I've said cemetery before. But good morning. It's good to be back home. And I want to thank you for allowing me to bring the word this morning. It is always a pleasure to be at the pulpit, and I am ever thankful to be here this morning. It's not something I ever take for granted. Most times when I'm giving the sermon, there is a scripture passage to dwell in. Having chosen Martha as subject matter today, there are 2 readings for us to explore. I really wanted to get to know her. Not only because she is our subject today, but because I really became interested in what her ministry might have been, her thoughts on a faithful life that at that time were all over the place. And how did she become a beloved friend of Jesus? But as you know, when you're not a big deal, then your work kind of gets swept under the rug. But I think Martha was a big deal. So I started to wonder how many of us today live a life like Martha, or know people who are like Martha's in our life. As a church family, who are the Marthas in our family of faith? I sometimes think whole congregations can take on a Martha-like personality. And our families, our brothers and sisters, have different personalities. I'm constantly blown away how different my 2 daughters are. So when there are events in our life, we react differently, and so did Martha and Mary. When there are family get-togethers, everyone has that person in their family who has to be on top of everything that goes on. I call them the great organizer. Even I have been the great organizer before. What seems to happen when you're that person, you miss out on whatever celebration might be going on. Martha is the great organizer in her family. As I read about her, I learned she most likely was the oldest, so she probably thought she had the responsibility to be the hospitable one when there were visitors to her home. But it does seem like she could not relax. See, I think Martha was a doer, a faithful doer. But at the same time, she was not a listener. She knew that Jesus was something special, but I don't think she knew what that special thing was. She had been around and knew him, and there were things that he did, but because she did not stop and slow down, she was not getting the whole message. From our Luke reading today, verse 40, it says, Martha was distracted with much serving. You could suppose one might substitute the word doing for serving. And she gets frustrated, doesn't she? Because she sees her sister in a contemplative state. Martha has not yet figured out the one thing that is necessary to be in a place that would bring her to what Jesus calls the good portion. This saying echoes the Old Testament passages where the greatest possession is close fellowship with the Lord as one's portion in life. You see, when one is in close fellowship, you are in a meditative state. Martha just was not there at that particular time in her life. She was too busy and was not listening. Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I wonder what was stressing her out. We know Jesus was not popular with the leaders at that time, and maybe having him in her home and worrying about his safety had her on edge. I have to be honest. I have been very anxious this week. In fact, when I was writing this, it was 1:27 in the morning, and I have a boatload of things on my mind. I wrote all the things down that have me anxious, and there are about 10 things. I'm worrying, my mind is spinning. I worry about our vacation next week. I worry about my children. I worry about my grandson. I worry about my marriage. All of this is distracting me, keeping me from my meditative state. But as I sat there and tried to relax, I have my Bible, and I am dwelling in the text, and it's giving me comfort. But why is it giving me comfort? Because I know through conversation and in prayer, I have this connection with Christ. I have this connection with the Lord. I have a connection with the Holy Spirit. It brings me comfort. Jesus is trying to tell Martha to relax and dwell in what he is saying. How many of you here have had this happen to you? Are some of you in a place where you are unable to get to that contemplative state? What is distracting you? What is making you anxious? As a community of faith, there are things in the life of this church that is keeping you from obtaining goals that the Holy Spirit is moving you to do. What is distracting you? In our second reading this morning, we find Jesus coming to visit the sisters after a great tragedy. The sisters' brother Lazarus has died. And because we already know the personalities of the two women, we are not surprised Martha goes out running to find Jesus and Mary stays home. I can see it in my mind. Martha is beside herself with grief. She goes flying out the door, running, crying, running a bit of a ways. We are guessing Jesus was in Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. So at the most, she ran 2 miles, but I'm thinking it was a little shorter than that. You've got to give her some credit. The women of that time wore a lot of garments. Plus, I'm sure it was warm. When Martha found Jesus, she immediately comes to him and says, "If you were here, Lazarus would have not died." Then she says, and I'm paraphrasing here, "It's not your fault. We know you have a direct line to God, so whatever you want and whatever you ask, you will get it." Jesus realizes what Martha is saying and simply says to her, "Your brother will rise." But remember, Martha still does not have the full picture of what and who Jesus is. As our summer series continues, we see that there is a good chance we understand why Martha might be considered someone coming in second place. This is one of those stories. Last week, we learned about Hagar. Unlike Hagar, we don't know if Martha bore children, and even if she did, they certainly did not have the impact Ishmael did. So what then does the stories of Martha have that might impact us to change our lives? How does Martha show us how to make a difference? There is one thing both stories have in common. Last week, Hagar runs away when she no longer can take the treatment she is receiving. We remember she is desperate and without anyone to help her. Then God steps in. This week, we read about Martha being distraught and left feeling desperate, and she runs away to meet Jesus. What happens next? Jesus steps in to help her. Now, until we have given in to the fact that we cannot control everything, do we realize we can't let go of these burdens? because God and His Son will step in and take care of us. God made a covenant with Hagar, and Jesus made one with Martha too. In verse 25 of John chapter 11, Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Then, what comes next is the most important part of the message today. Jesus asks, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" Jesus is asking Martha to enter into a covenant with him. He wants her to stop and contemplate the words he has just said. Finally, Martha has an eye-opening, transforming moment. Can you visualize the conversation the two have as they are traveling back to Martha's home? They're walking along the road. It's dusty, hot, dust everywhere. They stop. He looks at her and asks this most important question. She then pauses for a moment and says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Martha can now have her meditative state. Hagar took a risk, and Martha opened up her heart. These are two things that the Word is telling us and the Holy Spirit is moving us to do. You know, Lazarus gets all the cameos in the movies, and Mary seems to be lauded over majestically. I'm sure she had a tiara. But like I said, Martha is the big deal here in this story. We are very much like Martha in our personal lives and in the way we live our families of faith. Many times it takes us a while to get to a place where we can be in a meditative state, so the Lord can direct us, Jesus can teach us, and the Holy Spirit can move us. See, we can become the person and the church God intends us to be. My prayer is when you struggle in your life, you engage the Lord in a way that is purposeful and intentional. My hope is that when you celebrate the joys of life, you praise the Lord with gladness, and every day you find time for meditative worship with the Lord. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are here today not by accident. We are searchers. We are people with things that are heavy upon our hearts. And we look to you to give us comfort in the world that is sometimes out of control, confusing, and even bitter. But we know that you will give us what we need to go into the world and do the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank this congregation for the work they do in the world and the fact that they can find their meditative states. Amen.
And now comes our time to lift up together the joys that make our life wonderful, the people that brighten it, and also the concerns we have for the people we love, those prayers we want lifted up all together. So who has something that they would like to share with us today?
Good morning. My name is Keisha Binko, and I've asked for prayers for friends of ours, Hannah and Dan, the last few weeks, and I'd just like to ask for continued prayers for them. Just having issues with pregnancy, and they've been referred to the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, so they travel there tomorrow. So prayers for them as they hear what the doctors there have to say, and prayers that they can find hope as well as joy in this pregnancy. Thank you.
Prayers. All right. Then let us pray together. Holy God, of all times and places, your grace surrounds us and your love uplifts us. Let us walk peacefully and seek unity with all who call your name. May we be open to the movements of your spirit and listen for your voice, trusting enough to follow where you lead. God of amazing love, you have called us to be the body of Christ and to work together for justice and peace. Remind us that we don't always have to agree, even as we seek to build up your church. May we be touched with joy as we go about your work in the world, and with the wisdom we need to listen for your voice. God of life and death, remind us that you are present with us in all situations. Teach us gratitude for the lives we have, and for the blessings that we have as we lift up to you those who suffer, in body, mind, or spirit. Let us be gentle with our words and compassionate with our actions, knowing that so much pain is invisible to our eyes. Shape us into a community of grace that we may be a safe place of healing for any and all who seek to find your love. May we be together a community of hope and joy in your blessings. Extravagant and surprising God, you have blessed us with so much more than we know. We have all that we need, and very often, far more than what is needed. You patiently wait for us to see the wonders of your love. We thank you for the joy of meeting your children around the world, and for our group in Guatemala. Give them safe travels, and bless their time with grace and energy. In every place, may we help to share your abundant grace. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
With those who are comfortable doing so, please stand, and everyone join me in the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin. The Church's commission, upon which its freedom is founded, consists in delivering the message of the free grace of God to all people in Christ's stead, and therefore in the ministry of his own word and work through sermons and sacrament. We reject the false doctrine as though the Church, in human arrogance, could place the word and work of the Lord in the service of any arbitrarily chosen desires purposes, and plans. Let us now return our offerings to the Lord. And please sign the hospitality register as the plates are passed. Give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Lord, use these gifts to spread your name, your word, and your work throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Gates Presbyterian Church, you are ever faithful, you are ever sure. So when you become to that place where you have and need solace, you can look to the Lord. He will give you hope, he will bring you into the world, and he will have you do good things. Go and do good things. Amen.